Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Brother.
And, you know, I did push that button, but I had to push it again. That's how it goes, I guess. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma.
Yes, and so looking forward to a good program tonight, and I'll be standing by, and I'll let you know when your callers call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we do welcome everybody to this Wednesday night. Thank you for joining us this evening for Hope is Alive. And what is Hope is Alive? Hope is Alive is the show about demons, demonic spirits, and those who were set free from it. We are told in Isaiah 42 all the things that his servant Jesus would do, and some of those would be to open the eyes, the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons, and to set free those who dwell in darkness and from the prison, basically to set the captives free. And a little bit later in that Isaiah 42:10-11, it tells us to sing praises and give praises to God for that, and to shout it from the mountaintop. And that's basically what we do here. Instead of shouting from the mountaintop, we shout it from the top of a transmitter, shortwave transmitter. We shout it from the internet. We try to shout out and give the glory to Jesus Christ for what he's done. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. Excellent, excellent website set up. View it free of charge. Just click of a mouse. Or if you refer a book, you can get the book written by Pastor Cox in the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You've got about 30 years worth of experience laid down in it, an excellent manual to help you go through deliverance for others or self-deliverance for yourself. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book, and he'll get it out to you. Well, Pastor, shout it from the mountaintop. Tell us how this Monday went.
Well, we had 22 cases, Ralph. A really big evening. We had 11 ministers, so our brother Chris Davis, I had to do a group of the balance there of 11, but it still went well. I love the one-on-one because you can dig deeper. But still, many people get what they need in even group ministry. There's many ministers of the past that have done group through the years and helped people. But the one-on-one certainly is preferred from where we're coming from. And I had a couple of scriptures to mention because, you know, while prayer works, God's given us another way to do it, and certainly a direct way, just like in Mark 16:17, where Jesus commanded believers in his name to cast out evil spirits. And in John 14:12, Jesus even said, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also." So we're supposed to be doing the works that Jesus did, and we know what he did. Read the New Testament. He spent a good third of his time, it's been figured out, casting out evil spirits and, of course, healing the sick. And then Acts 10:38, where God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. So we are to do the same works that Jesus did in his name. An amazing factor to get hold of. And these 400 some odd testimonies that we will have had on this show come November, I can't believe it's been, well, it's a 500, yeah, it's about 100 a year. Be 500 testimonies, roughly, that have been on this show in 5 years of deliverance and physical healing. And all of those have taken place by not praying to the Father in Jesus' name, but by commanding directly. I'll never forget a testimony of a pastor in New Mexico, Carlsbad, New Mexico, James McCormick. He was on my radio show I did for 22 years here in the city. That testimony is on our website, in fact, but he told about a man his wife called the church. It was in a weekday, and said her husband had called, and he thinks he's having a heart attack, and he's headed to the church. He obviously had great faith, you know. And so they were looking out the window, and here comes this car swerving on the road and finally up over the curb in the front yard of the church. They rush out. This man is slumped over the steering wheel. They get him out of the car, and while they're praying for him, the Lord spoke to Pastor McCormick and said, "Don't pray. Command the spirit of heart attack to come out." And that's, they shifted gears and went into the command mode, commanding heart attack and death to come out. This man lurched, and a voice spoke out of his mouth, "He will never preach, he's going to die, ha, ha, ha." And this man was scheduled to preach for the first time the coming Sunday at that church. And so they kept in the command mode, and finally the man is back to normal. Right there in the grass. They had already sent somebody for an ambulance. Before the ambulance got there, the man sat up and he was fine. The spirit had been cast out. If they had gone into a normal prayer mode, he more than likely would have died. But by commanding and doing what Jesus had told us to do in his name, praise God, that man was healed. Well, we see that all the time as well. We just recently saw a level 4 cancer situation healed by commanding in Jesus' name directly to the evil spirits of cancer and so on, the other demons we got hold of. But doing it in his name and doing his works in his name. So I just, all these testimonies are based on that, and we have two testimonies coming up tonight as well that will have that same base under them.
Praise the Lord. You know, it doesn't seem like it's been 5 years that we're coming up on it, that we've had this show on. And what a blessing it has been. I mean, I just think about this little work of faith that we're doing each Wednesday night. And well, there's really no telling how far out it reaches out and who hears. And, you know, there'll be people that maybe they never call the office, but maybe they'll order the book. Or they'll go to the website, and they're set free. And then when when they give their testimony or someone. Generally, you can see where something's different about somebody. And we hear that a lot. You know, people say they'll come home from a deliverance and a friend or their spouse, a brother or somebody, they say, well, there's something different about you. What is it? What's the change? And then they get that chance to witness what Jesus has done with them. So it's just doing our best, our little part we can, the best that we can with the tools that we've been given, which we praise God. We do have this ability to get the word out, to glorify Jesus, and to help set captives free, because that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yes, hallelujah. Amen. I wanted to mention one other thing. We constantly have people with pain. I've seen now over these 42 years, thousands of backs healed and pain gone and from the neck and all by commanding directly in the name of Jesus for the back adjust and the pain to go. And then we get to watch short legs adjust out as we say that, short arms adjust, and the person then reports how the pain is gone. We went directly to the problem in Jesus' name, commanding it just like Jesus did. So it's high adventure and exciting and fulfilling that God would use us to speak in his name like this. And this is not a gift thing. This is normal Christianity we're talking about. All Christians can do what we're talking about.
Yes, they can. And that's the great thing about the website. That's the great thing about the book. For those that maybe don't have that confidence to do it, thinking, well, no, that's other Christians. It's not me. That's not the case. Here they are. You've got years of experience laid out on both the website and the book that gives you step-by-step on how to do it. And these are tried and true steps. They have found that if you follow these things in this order, it's easier ministry. You don't have the outbursts. You don't have the manifestations that come. And then you can go and you use that as a template. You use that as a training tool. And then the Holy Spirit works with you and starts manifesting those natural gifts that you do have within you. And maybe you have a little bit of gift discernment that somebody else doesn't, so you're able to discern something as you're talking or going through ministry with somebody. Obviously, we all have different strengths and different areas that we're stronger in. Some are a little weaker in other things, but the great thing is we have that helper, the Holy Spirit. We weren't left to do this. You know, it's not like our Heavenly Father said, hey, go do this. All right, now I'm done. Never hear from me again. He gave us that helper because Jesus said, I have to go to the Father. If I don't go to the Father, this helper can't come. And so Jesus accomplished everything we needed on the victory that he had on the cross. He went to the right hand of the Father and sent us the Holy Spirit to help. And that's that same Holy Spirit that Pastor brought up in verse 38 of Acts 10, that same anointing that God gives, that God gave Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he gives Ralph, he gives
Amen.
Pastor Cox, he gives the people that are coming on to give their testimony this night, and he's given each and every one of you out there who are listening that are a believer in Jesus Christ, repented of their sins, been washed in the blood, baptized those mission sins, you too have that same anointing that's in there. And even more so when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. That was a big boost in my life.
It was in mine too. That boldness that's there, the confidence that's there, everything that's promised by the Holy Spirit was magnified. I mean, I had saw those things that were there, because it does say in Acts 2:38, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit's there as a gift, a helper. But that baptism of the Holy Spirit, when that came upon me, things changed even more. I mean, even more. Pastor, we have Linda. Linda, thank you for calling this evening.
Hello.
Hi, Linda.
Can you hear me?
So glad you could. Yes, hear you fine. How about us?
Just fine.
All right. Well, Linda, go ahead and give some history on yourself. and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and experiences. So go right ahead.
Well, I grew up in a little town in Arkansas, and my mother was English. She and Daddy got married from World War II, and so because of that, I grew up Episcopalian, and I was sprinkled as a baby. But I did get water baptized as an adult in September of '91, and that was a glorious experience. I'll have to say that. But in between all of that, there was a lot that went on, and one thing that I had even forgotten about but had a tremendous impact on me, when I was a teenager, about 16, I snuck in to see that horrible movie, The Exorcist. And then there was another thing that I did. I went to see a fortune teller. And for years, I would read my horoscope, and I did not know until I got to Deliverance Ministries that I had opened up all these doors, which gave the devil the legal right to torment me. I had absolutely no idea. And so this has just been, as a Christian, a born-again Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, but tormented. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get through all this anger, and I would have these explosive fits and just all this stuff, and it never made sense to me until I came to Deliverance Ministries. And I just have to say that, Everett, because I'm afraid there are a lot of people out there just like me. They've been in the church, they love the Lord, they study the Bible, but they just don't know that we open up the door to the devil, and also the traumas and the things we go through, it puts these breaks, these soul ties, where we're broken in our soul. And I didn't have any idea, but I tell you, it was just absolutely eye-opening to come in there. We came on July, I believe it was the 13th. My husband was diagnosed with a stage 4 tumor back in January, and one of your ministers, Jess, had kept telling us about Deliverance Ministry, so I got Pierre to come up there in July. And I kind of didn't tell him it was going to be several hours long. And so when we got there and he found out, all of his defenses went up. He didn't want to stay. And that sweet little Richard, bless his heart, he came over there and prayed for Pierre. And the Holy Spirit just talked Pierre into staying. And then after we sat through that, at 8 o'clock, Pierre wanted to stay for the ministry as well. So it was just truly a miracle that happened. But I brought Pierre, but I stayed for myself. I had gone ahead and asked for two slots when I called in to make the reservation. And I went through the ministry as well. And it was just such a beautiful thing. The lady that did that for me, another one of your ministers, Lupe, I hope it's okay to say their names. I know we work under anonymity, and I just want to say that right now, that if anybody comes in, it's in the strictest confidence, and that it's not repeated, and I want people to feel safe about that. I hope it's okay that I interject that right now.
Sure.
Because it is right. My hope that other people will hear my testimony and want to get the same thing that I got. And, you know, I attend church, but it seems like I just can't get the Bible study from the church. But when I came there to Deliverance Ministries, Everett said, when we speak the word, it performs itself. And I got so excited because Jeremiah 1:12 says, "For I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." And so I knew that what he was saying was true. And there were some other scriptures, particularly Luke 10:19, and there were some scriptures that he really stood on that I just loved that because I love the study of God's word, and I've had the absolute privilege to sit under some really good teachers in Greek and Hebrew right here in Oklahoma City. And I say it's a privilege because it was just a beautiful thing to sit under that didn't cost me anything except my time. And I base everything on the Word of God. But I did want to say that when I went through the ministry, when I went through with Lupe, we went through all the soul ties and all the whole series. She was very thorough, did a wonderful, it was just like a match made in heaven. And I know that Everett prays about who he puts us with, and I want to say that because it was absolutely a perfect match. And when we got through, she took her golden scissors and cut all those things loose, and the tongues just started bubbling up in me. And I want to say that because of that, several years back, I had the other gifts, but I couldn't seem to get the tongues. It just wasn't seeming to work for me. And I called a television ministry, and I spoke to a man, and he asked me if I'd ever been to see a fortune teller. And I said, "Oh, yeah, I did do that when I was in high school." And he said, "Well, that's the reason you can't speak in tongues." And so I always just thought, well, I just wasn't going to have that gift. And, you know, it wasn't because he was trying to be mean to me or anything, but he just didn't know about the soul tie breaking and this the closing these doors and how important it is to go through all of that. And I hope I don't sound confused. I'm wanting to get a lot of information in. I want people to know that they're not crazy if they're feeling this oppression. I know the church that I attend, I would never mention the word devil or oppression or anything at that church. It's just not said. But this stuff that we've done, not knowing what we're doing, we've opened these doors and we've become oppressed by these things that we really must go through this ministry. That's why I know I've said to you that I feel like this ministry is absolutely the most important ministry for such a time as this. The church needs to know. Jesus said, "I have come to set the captives free," and he was in the synagogue when he said that. That was his first sermon, and it was the church he came to set free. And that's I just wonder if I could share something from in the Greek. Do I have a minute more that I could share something?
Sure, go ahead.
There is a verse in 1 John 3:8 that says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." And yesterday we were at the chemo hospital, and I got my books out. I knew I was going to be talking to you tonight, and I got to digging around. I like to look at the Greek words, and that word for to destroy, it says hina luce ta erga to the abolu, and that luce is from the verb luo, and that means to untie or to set free or break or loose or permit. And when I saw that it meant permit, I thought, well, that's interesting. So I looked up that word permit, and it says to exercise authority over something on the basis of its being legitimate. which that is exactly what this ministry is. I mean, he came to destroy that, but we've got to go through this series of the door closing in order for that to all take place. And then if you look at your verse, Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But if you look at the Amplified, it says, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power of the enemy that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Well, that I have given is in the perfect tense. It's didoka, in the perfect tense, and it comes from the verb didomai. And the translators note on that the Greek perfect tense marks the event as a factual state of being and thus highlights its certainty as a fixed state. And didomai, which means give, produce, appoint. If you look up appoint, that means to assign a person to a task as a particular benefit to others. Now, isn't that beautiful?
Wow. You know, that lays it out, doesn't it?
It sure does. And that's because our God is he's just a God of multiplication, and he wants to help us and to heal us, and he wants to work through us, and he wants this ministry. He wants this to touch people who are bound up and tied up and under this. They're just tied up and just suffering under the devil. And it doesn't have to be that way. People can be set free. There is a way out. And this is a way out, Deliverance Ministries. Please, if anybody's listening.
If I might ask, in your ministry, when you were being ministered to by Luke E., did you feel those spirits coming out or anything
yes,
like that?
Yes, sir, I did. And she had me take my spiritual hand and pull that out of my stomach. And once I did that, I started pulling them out everywhere. I mean, dozens of them. And I could feel them coming up. It was like the hair on my body stood up. And there was something. I've been having this problem with this something behind my left eye. And it was like I couldn't get it out. And I was just pulling on it. It was like a tentacle. And it had to do with something to do with my older sister. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was something to do with her. You know, we went through all of this to do with family members and stuff, but you know, things happen when we grow up with our family members. But, oh, yes. And sure. Then when she took those golden scissors and cut all that stuff off of me, and there, I thought I couldn't speak in tongues, and I had tried, and I would speak with other people. I would try to mimic what they were saying. But when we got through, it was like just a spring just welled up in me, and I just started just flowing in tongues. Now, I haven't been real good about keeping up with that, but I know it's there now. I know it's there.
Well, sure, and you're in control. That's your private prayer language, and that's yours. You can start it and stop it any time you want. It's kind of like a baby learning to talk. The more you use it, the more it'll flow. But you broke the ice, obviously. It's there now, and you can start it right up. Praise God. Can you remember some of the other problem areas that seem to have disappeared?
Let's see.
You mentioned anger earlier. Is there an anger?
Oh, yeah. I just had so much anger. And, you know, we've been dealing with this horrible illness you know, with my husband, and that has really, really, when my sister and brother-in-law came to see me, and they said that I was just so calm, and they said they couldn't get over how kind and gentle I spoke to Pierre, because they know me very well, and they know how volatile, you know, the so that was something that they confirmed. Now, we've had some ups and downs, but that's something else. Every time, you know, life goes on and we run into things, the road rage, the people at the store, the neighbors, we have all kinds of things going on. And I have really, really used that, where you take that problem and that person and you put them, you cup them into your hands, and you admit to your part in it, and you forgive that person, and you forgive yourself, and you release them, you bless them, and then you give it to the Lord Jesus, and He takes it every time. And so I am using this as a lifestyle. I mean, it's not just something that you come on Monday night and go through this. This is something you take home with you, and your life is 1,000 times, gajillion times better because you have tools now to use.
Yes. Yes, and it is ongoing, because we live here on Earth. We live in the war zone with the demonic activity all around us and trying to steal, kill, and destroy in Christians' lives. So we have to constantly use those tools, use the power. If something tries to come against us, and cancel it out and send it on out to the feet of Jesus. We send them to the feet of Jesus for Jesus to do what He wishes with those spirits. So, yeah, you've got it down pretty good. We have a couple of minutes left. What else would you have to share in those couple of minutes?
Well, something else, you know, doing the binding and the loosening and breaking those curses that have been said either by other people or even by myself. You know, our words are so important, and sometimes we say something and we really shouldn't have said it, but I believe that the Lord Jesus has given us, now especially having these tools, the ability to command that curse to be broken in the name of Jesus, and call in those mopping help angels to come in and mop it all up and carry it to the feet of Jesus, where He can judge and tie up those things, that they will not ever come back in this age, that the Lord Jesus is just waiting for us, you know, to give Him that stuff, and He has given us these tools. These angels are real, and He has given them to us to use them. It's in Hebrews, it says that these angels have been sent to help us. I believe it's Hebrews 1:14. I'm not sure about the address.
Right.
I believe it is. I can.
That's right.
I hate to not be not quote the Bible correctly, because in case somebody's, you know, wanting to look it up later,
yeah,
and that is Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And so we have these things. He has blessed us with great gifts to use and to help us. And I believe it is His will that we be servants to Him, and to be His hands and feet, and to serve others, and to help others who are suffering. And now that we know these things, we will be blessed if we do them.
Yeah,
that comes out of
Linda,
John.
We are out of time. We're out of time. But thank you so much. That was a wonderful testimony and the sharing of the word, praise God. But
praise God
for
His word.
Yes. God bless you, and bye-bye.
God bless
you. Thank you, Linda.
Bye.
A lot of joy in her voice. A lot of joy.
Yes.
Well, Pastor, we have Travis. We have Travis with us. Travis, thank you for joining us.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, Travis. Thanks so much for calling in. Yeah.
No problem.
Why don't you go ahead and Ralph is on here with me up in the Branson area. Why don't you go ahead, Travis, and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverances have been like and changes you've seen in your life and experiences.
Sure. Well, I was not a born-again Christian until I was 19 years old and had lots of things going on in my life prior to being a Christian in 1990. And so a lot of things that were painful and whatever, and just didn't really have any tools to help me overcome those pains. And in 1990, I accepted Christ when it was in about the summertime, almost maybe in the fall. And that's when my life really became very difficult. I didn't understand why, but I started to have great amounts of depression, and I had never had depression in my life. And so for the next 10 years, I tried to really use normal methods of counseling and things like that to overcome all of that. But it just really, it helped a little, but it was never powerful like deliverance. And so I went another 10 years, maybe 15, just really kind of struggling. I would read my Bible and try to committed to the Bible every day after about 4 or 5 years into being a Christian, but I didn't have any discipling or anything like that. And then about in 2008, I was reading in 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about spiritual gifts. And I was praying about that, and I'll never forget, I was in Lawton, Oklahoma, in IHOP, reading that scripture, and I remember reading that and saying, Lord, in my Bible, or in my journal, I need you to show me these spiritual gifts, because I don't see them being taught in church, and I don't understand them, but I believe that they're true. And so in 2009, God honored that prayer and sent me to Honduras on a mission trip, and I saw those gifts manifested. And I really came back a changed person. And, you know, my wife, she picked me up in Oklahoma City off the airport at about midnight, and I had to tell her what was in my journal, and she said, if I didn't know you, I wouldn't believe you. And that really started my journey of understanding the power of God and realizing that there was a tremendous lack of understanding that I had. And then I started to, I'm going to tell this story. This is a little bit of a personal story, but I don't know if anybody's ever heard of being in a state of sleep paralysis, but I was held down on my bed at night about 2 a.m, and I couldn't move a single muscle. I couldn't even speak, but I had terror that was the terror I've never experienced in my life. And the only thing that I could do was think the name of Jesus. And when I did that, I was saying, Jesus, help, in my mind, and it instantly let up. And that was my first experience of knowing that there was something else out there that was not for my good. And so I had to start investigating some things, and my son of 1 year old, he was barely able to talk, and he was seeing things that he was sharing with me, and I was having to investigate things. that I had never investigated, but I knew that they were in the Bible. And after my experience in Honduras, I started getting on my knees, but I didn't know how to fight it. And lo and behold, I met this guy that knew Everett Cox and got me involved with Deliverance Ministries a couple of years later. And so I got some deliverance myself and started to understand, the training behind it and the power that we have in Christ through the Word of God and being able to administer it. And so, first getting myself lined out a little bit, I went to Deliverance Ministries, I suspect a dozen times over a period of maybe a couple of years, because I had so many wounds that I couldn't overcome myself, and I didn't know how to do it with traditional counseling or medication, or I had tried all of it. And then I started to see tremendous change in my life through the ministry. And once I saw that, I began to become a minister. I went through the training courses, and once you start having to do the work, you begin to learn it pretty well. And I'm nowhere wherever it is, or anybody that's probably doing it today, but I would say that it really, really helped me gain control over my home as far as the spiritual realm. And since this time, I think I started maybe with Deliverance in 2015 or 2014 and did a year or two of ministry with Everett. I was so thankful he allowed me to do that. And so it's just been an amazing journey for me. It's very much like, the last lady that was speaking, it's given you the power to overcome the enemy. And God did that through the blood of Jesus. And so now when we have problems, we first start to pray over them. In my family today, I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I'm teaching my boys and my wife. My wife does, she's been to Deliverance as well. But about a year ago, I told you this story earlier today, but about a year ago, I fell down, I tripped in my yard, and I caught myself with my left hand on a brick. I hit the corner of the brick. I hit it so hard that it broke that brick, and it was an immediate, intense pain. It was so bad I couldn't even hold anything. I couldn't even use it. And that night, I was putting my boys to bed. They're 5 and 10 still. At that time, my son was 4, Joseph, and my other son was 9, and his name's Noah. And Joseph, I was laying down in his bed. We were getting ready to read our Bible or do whatever we were going to do, and he hit my hand when I got injured, and it hurt so badly. I was like, ow! And he took my hand so gently, and he prayed over it, and instantly God healed my hand. He healed it so well, I was so excited that I actually hit it with my other hand and said, Joseph, look what you just did through Jesus. And it was so amazing that he had little tears coming out of his eyes because he was just moved by God.
Praise God.
But both of my boys are like that, They are seeing the power of God, and through the ministry, Deliverance Ministries has taught me to teach my boys that stuff. And I'll give you another example. Just a week ago, I had to go return some keys to somebody, and in my journey across town, the Lord said, "You need to go see Nelson." Well, Nelson's my tire guy. And I was like, I don't want to go see Nelson. I don't want to go do that today. But I did. I obeyed. I get there, and I was like, Nelson, there's something wrong with my back tires. I don't know what it is. But anyway, can you check them out? Lo and behold, both of those back tires were almost to blow out. They were separating, And God knew that I needed protected, and I didn't want to do that. And so the Holy Spirit, you know, through deliverance, has taught me to listen and be aware that God is speaking to us. And he cares about our tires, and he cares about our jobs, and he cares about our kids. And so, you know, that's what I've seen God do in the last 10 years, you know, after I got back from Honduras, just transform my thinking. You know, I don't have habitual sin anymore like I used to. I couldn't overcome it before Deliverance Ministries. And I'm just so grateful that we have the tools in the Bible. Now, what Everett has done in his team is lay those tools out so that we can go through them quickly and go, okay, I need that tool right now. That scripture is what I'm really talking about. You know, and it's just amazing. And so, you know, I don't have manifestations in my home anymore, you know, like I did, you know, 10 years ago. I didn't even know how to deal with them, and it was just scary. It was like the only tool I had was Jesus come, you know, but I couldn't really... I was wielding this tool that was wonderful, and I'm thankful, but there's other things that we need to understand. And, you know, by going through the scriptures in Luke 10:19, you know, he's given us powers to trample scorpions and serpents. Well, I got that from Deliverance Ministry. So, you know, those things... You know, we don't have to fear the enemy anymore. We have been given all power to overcome that.
Amen.
And once we can grasp that and we can see the evidence, that's the key. You know, in Deliverance Ministries, when I started ministering, this lady came in, and she had been walking with a cane for a decade because of an auto accident. And we prayed for her. It was just a one-on-one, and God healed her instantly, and she walked out carrying that cane. And a month later, the verification through her friend that came back said, "I just, you know, wanted to see this ministry." And so when you see, right, you know, a dozen of those things, you're convinced. And that's where I was before ministry, the Deliverance Ministry. You know, when I came, I was so fearful of demons and, you know, even talking about that stuff. You know, I'd never seen it or never even had heard about it in church, and so it was scary to me. You know, I didn't want to be involved with something that was not godly, but now I'm like, this is so godly. It's right in the Bible. It's in Acts, you know. We've seen all kinds of things if you read your scriptures. And there's no condemnation in that. It's just that you've got to go read it, and you've got to find it. So, anyway, that's kind of a short of my testimony.
Travis, share about your son that had the visit with Jesus.
Yeah, when my son Noah, he's the 10-year-old, this was in 2010 down in Lawton. He was born in a really severe situation where it was life or death. And instantly they took him to NICU, and they got him, you know, they got him stabilized. And he couldn't be held for the next couple of days. He was in the incubator. He wasn't born premature, but he was just in a state that he needed a lot of oxygen and a lot of warmth and things like that. I don't know all of the details anymore, but I was really concerned because we couldn't hold him and we couldn't comfort him. He had just come out of a traumatic experience, and we couldn't love him. And so I was standing over that NICU incubator with the lights on, and he was laying in there with all of these tubes. And I just asked the Lord, I just ask you to hold my son while we can't until he comes out. And I just pray over this so that he doesn't have any negative ramifications psychologically from not being held or, you know, whatever that process needs to look like, Lord. I just ask you to take care of him. And this last year, I never told my son Noah that story. I prayed over him for 30 minutes. He said, Dad, this was just last year. He was 9 years old at this time. He said, Dad, I went to heaven because I died one time. And I said, you never died. And he said, well, I've been to heaven. And I said, okay, well, tell me more. And so he told me about heaven and all this stuff. And I said, so what made you talk about this? And he said, well, he goes, I just remember looking down on you when I was in the hospital when I was born, and I could see your hat and I could see you over me. And he goes, then I felt a tap on the shoulder and Jesus took me to heaven. And he said he showed him all over heaven and said he talked about, you know, he saw the gates of heaven and he saw the walls and the grass and all this stuff. And I was just amazed because he had never been told that story. And I shared with him after I was like, no, the reason I prayed over you was because I couldn't hold you. And it was such an unbelievable moment just a year ago where, you know, God honored my prayer where I'd just been in Honduras just a few months earlier. I had no idea that God heard my prayer right there to love my son while he was in that little NICU crib of, you know, it's clear and you can see through it. It's got lights in it and the oxygen and all that stuff. I never told him that story, and he told me what it looked like. So,
praise God.
God loves it.
Amen.
So, you know, I've just experienced so many miracles in the last 10 years, and thank you, Everett, for your ministry and you know, it's given me courage to move on and not fear trials, because we all face them. You know, when we know that Jesus is on our side, we're going to win. Doesn't mean we won't go through a trial, and it doesn't mean there won't be fire. But it oftentimes means that we're going to be successful, and we're going to learn about how to wield the tools that Jesus has given us through those times.
Yes. Yes. We've got the power in his name and these warring angels at our backs. It gives you a high level of security. And we just
it
got
really
a couple
does.
Minutes left. You remember any other cases when you were ministering that you help people when you were a minister, Travis?
You know, there's
healing?
Been a number of them. And what I think is amazing is everybody that goes through ministry, that, you know, you got to want to go through ministry because it's not a fast process. And so,
yeah.
You know, when people go through ministry and specifically with me, you know, that I can remember, it's always a freeing moment once you get done. You just feel like you have a new lease on life, you know, and a lot of people that I have talked to in the past, you know, where they've had different experiences and, you know, wounds and things like that, and Jesus can come in and really heal those wounds up. That's just, it's every time. And if you go back a number of times, it just gets a little bit better and a little bit better. And so I don't know a whole lot of specifics anymore. It's been a couple of years since I've been there, but I do know that people that I've worked with, man, they just, every time they come, it's just a better situation when they leave.
Yes, praise God. Well, that's great, Travis. That is an excellent testimony, brother, and very fulfilling, and will encourage others out there about this works of Jesus and what we're to be doing in his name. Well, thank
you
again for calling, and have a good one, Travis.
Thank you, Everett. Bye. Have a great night, everyone.
Yes, thank you, Travis. Thank you. So he talks about that sleep paralysis. That's the real thing. You can Google it, and hear testimony of people that go through it. And it was something I'd suffered for many, many years. And once I went through deliverance, it was gone. But I used to do the same thing where I'd just be absolutely frozen. Sometimes I could feel actual hands holding me down, or I could feel an actual hand over my mouth that would try to keep me from crying out to Jesus. But as long as I cried out to Jesus, I could get it to stop and go away. But it always came back until those doors were shut and those spirits were cast out. So if you have any questions about deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, or Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, a book written by Pastor Cox. You obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book. He'll certainly get it out to you. We thank everybody for taking time out this Wednesday evening and join us. We are very grateful to be able to come here on the air each week. We look forward to seeing you all next week. Have a good night, and God bless.
God bless everyone.
You are the last party in the conference.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.